Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
It's cold outside, right? But I am feeling warm. For the next few Sundays, we will be hearing sermons from our elders regarding the birth of Jesus Christ from the gospel. Every time I stand here, I consider this as a privilege and at the same time a blessing from the Lord. Because this is where I experience God's mercy and enablement. So it's a wonderful privilege as an elder of the church. Last night, we have our Christmas fellowship at the basement. When we went home, my son, while I was driving, asked her, "Mama, why are you not an elder?" I did not remember what's my wife's answer, but my son said, "You know, Ma, what's an elder?" And then what? "Is someone who is old." It hurts my back when I heard that someone is old. But Alvin, do you agree? So, yeah. Sumakit yung likod ko. No? Talking about elder or old man, about the old man. There was a story. The day before Christmas, an elderly man in Phoenix, Arizona. I don't know if this is a true story, but I read this article. He wanted to be with his children on Christmas. But he believed it is impossible to happen unless he will do something to convince them. So he called his son in New York and said to him, "Son, I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing." It's not true, but he wants to be with his kids. 45 years of misery is enough. We're sick of each other. And so call your sister in Chicago and tell her that we're divorcing. So the son was so worried, he called his sister, who exploded on the phone, said, "What? They're getting divorced?" She shouted, I'll take care of this. So she called her dad in Phoenix and said to her father, "Dad, you are not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me?" The old man hung up his phone and turned to his wife, said, "Okay, honey, the kids are coming for Christmas and paying for their flights." What a strategy, right? Don't do that. My in-laws are here from Philippines. They did not trick us, actually. Their theme song is "Sweeter as the Years Go By." We want them to be with us this Christmas. Sa Tagalog, yung theme song nila is "Kahit Paputi Na Ang Buhok Ko." Yeah. Before we start, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we humble before you this morning. We ask for wisdom as we study your word, the account from the birth of our Savior, the first advent. And we pray, Lord, that we will glean biblical principles from the wise men, that we will have this kind of joy, Lord, the true, the real joy and real spirit of this season. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew's account begins with genealogy. Read Matthew chapter 1. Last year we talked about the genealogy, the women of Advent. The author demonstrates the birth of Jesus Christ here is not an isolated event, but one rooted in history. In other words, the birth of Jesus Christ is not the beginning of story. To properly understand his birth, one must understand the history from which he came. Matthew begins his account with detailed genealogy that places Jesus as ancestor of King David and Abraham. He is writing to the Jews and presents Jesus Christ as king better than David and teacher greater than Moses. Here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, I will read, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." So the name Jesus means the Savior. Or more literally, he will certainly save. And then his title is Christ, Jesus Christ. He was the anointed one, the one qualified for the task of saving sinners. In Hebrew, the word is Messiah. Jesus, the Messiah, the deliverer. And also here was mentioned that Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David, and then the son of Abraham. Meaning, Jesus Christ descended from Abraham. Meaning, Jesus was Jewish. Abraham was promised that through his bloodline would come forth some who would bless all nations in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. The Davidic covenant was fulfilled, and at the same time, the Abrahamic covenant. In chapter 2 of Matthew, it does not tell us about the shepherds coming to visit Jesus, unlike the account of Luke chapter 2 particularly. His focus is immediately on foreigners coming from the east to worship Jesus Christ. In verse 1 of chapter 2, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea and the days of Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? So Matthew's gospel portrays Jesus at the beginning and ending of his gospel as a universal Messiah for all nations, not just for Israel or for the Jews per se. Here, the first in Matthew chapter 2, the first worshipers are astrologers. They said it's court magicians or wise men. Not from Israel, but from where? From the east. Most probably, scholars said it's Babylon, the present Iraq. Or some, they said, Persia or Iran. They were Gentiles, unclean according to the Jewish Old Testament ceremonial law. And at the end of Matthew, remember the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28:18 until 19. It says, Jesus Christ said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. All nations. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 3. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. So it mentioned here, nations, all nations, not just nation, or particularly the nation of Israel. So Matthew wants his readers that Jesus is Messiah, a king, a promise fulfiller for all nations, not just for Israel. I hope you get that. It is Matthew that tells us about the wise men that came to worship bringing gifts fit for a king. So Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the deliverer, savior of mankind, Emmanuel, God with us, worthy of obedience and worship by all, not just by the Jews, Gentiles, us. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. As I've said, one of the first few worshipers of Christmas were Gentiles. First few. Of course, there are shepherds, Jewish shepherds, angels. But here we see also Gentiles. So the Messiah is a Messiah for everybody, everyone, for everybody. And you know, there have been few ideas passed along as truth. In fact, the Bible does not specifically mention about with regards to this wise man, the visitor from the east. They said there were three wise men. Is there a proof? Three? Although, the Bible does not indicate that there were three, but it says there were three gifts, right? Three gifts, but doesn't mean because of three gifts, there were three wise men or magi. It doesn't mention how many wise men. And also, they said there were kings, but there's no indication that these were kings. Some celebrate three kings. There's a song, We Three Kings from Orient. They said the name were Melchor, Caspar or Gaspar, and Baltasar. I don't know where they get these names. Melchor. Traditional. And they visited the baby Jesus in the manger. You know the traditional nativity scene? The Belen? That there's a baby Jesus in the manger, Mary, Joseph, the shepherd, the sheep, and together with this wise man. Is that true? Is that the real scene during Christ's birth? Let's take a look at verse 11. Where? And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense. Is that a manger?
No,
it's a house. And it's not baby. Look, they saw the child. So they were not together with the shepherds. And they were not there, the manger. You see the deception there? No wonder in verse 16, Herod says that he killed all the children, right? 2 years under. And it makes sense because these wise men from east, they traveled by foot or camel, 1,000 to 1,500 miles. So it's not. So it takes time. And also, to travel them, if they traveled only, the three of them traveled, they would be exposed to danger, right? From thieves and robbers. And how about the supply? So they need more supply, they need safety, so probably they were escorted by some guards and they traveled by caravan. Not Dodge caravan, there's no, it's caravan journey. So by that means a group of people traveling together for safety and, you know. So during first Christmas, as I said, the angels worship him, the shepherd, and this wise man, the magi, worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, let's take a look at here. Let's get principles here. Verse 2, they said, we have come to worship him. That's the result from their heart, right? From east, there was already in their heart to desire to really worship Christ. Jesus, the Messiah. And then in verse 10, we see the result. They rejoice exceedingly with great joy. And then in verse 11, they fell down and worshiped. That's where we see here the real worship. Because of that resolve to see Christ, to worship him, and the result was great joy. And then after that great joy that they experienced, what happened? They offer or they give the true worship to the Messiah. Let's take a look at verse 10 here. Let's read again. They rejoice exceedingly with great joy. You know what? The word here, it's like double. It's like a repetition, right? They rejoice. Look at that. Rejoice exceedingly with double what? Not jeopardy. Rejoice exceedingly. You know the word exceedingly in Greek? Ispodra. Ispodra. They rejoice, ispodra, meaning to the highest degree. Wow. Highest degree. And then with great joy, the word great there is Mega joy. Highest degree, mega joy to the highest level, to the max. Wow, what? You want to experience that kind of joy this Christmas? Joy to the highest degree, mega joy to the max, level up. Learn from the wise men. That's why they call this wise, right? Not only they know astrology, but there indeed, I say, these are really wise men from the East. You know, many songs we sing at Christmas are reminders that Christmas time is supposed to be happy or joyful. Songs like, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. What else? It's the joy to the world. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Have a holly jolly Christmas. Jingle bells. Walking in the winter wonderland. You see, it communicates that Christmas time is to be a joyous season. Trouble-free season. But let me ask you honestly this morning. Is that what you are experiencing this season? Huh? Probably not, right? Pastor said, by merely looking at your faces. I don't. So smile. Yeah. What's inside your heart? Yeah. Or it comes out, right? Your words, even your expression, your countenance. For some of us, maybe because of personal problems, that's the reason why we do not experience that joy this season. For others, you feel like one crisis after another has run you over. With such ton of problems, it's hard to have a holly jolly Christmas. No Christmas bonus. No 13-month pay, right? Unlike back home. Some of you are busy working so hard that there is no time to celebrate. Or maybe there is not anything really wrong, but for some reason you are just not enjoying Christmas. You don't know why. The world does not look like winter wonderland. It's like winter only. Full of snow. Let it snow. Right? You know, disillusionment. I said disillusionment or, you know, discouragement at Christmas is not an unusual thing. We got so hyped up with expectations about what Christmas is supposed to be that often the real thing doesn't happen. So what happened? We are disappointed. We're disappointed. We have a lot of expectations. Oh, I hope this Christmas will be like this. What can you do this Christmas to avoid discouragement? What's the best thing to do? How can you improve your level of joy this Christmas? Mega joy. How? The joy to the highest degree. The answer is found in the story of the wise men from the East. We see in Matthew chapter 2, we see how we can raise the level of joy at Christmas. There are three lessons here we learn from this story. Three questions that I will ask. And the level of joy depends on your answer to that question. Three questions. Simple questions, but your answer, that will also determine your level of joy. First question, what do you seek this Christmas? What do you seek? What is it I want to get out of Christmas? What is it that would make your Christmas wonderful and satisfying? What? Is it snow? Decors? Family together? Yes, those are good. A feeling you define as the holiday spirit? Yes, it's good. Finding the right present to give? Getting the present you have been hoping for? I hope I will receive this Christmas. Yes? Good. The problem with all this is that they can leave us disappointed, right? What if you will not receive that gift? What if you will not be together with your loved one this Christmas? What if? Have you ever had that kind of experience when you were disappointed by Christmas because it did not result to what you thought it would? You know, the problem is not Christmas. It's in your expectation. We are looking for the wrong thing. What do you seek? What do you seek? The wise men show us here how to increase our level of joy at Christmas by looking for the right thing. Look for the right thing this Christmas. What was it they were looking for? What was it? Verse 2. They came to Jerusalem and said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Worship him. This is what we need to be looking for and expecting this Christmas season. An experience of worship. A fresh glimpse. Pastor, it is new. Right? Or you renew that. Remind yourself of the blessings that our Savior brings when he came during his first advent. The blessings of the coming of the Messiah. If our goal this Christmas is to worship Jesus, then I doubt very seriously that we will be dissatisfied with our experience this Christmas and for the next Christmas to come. What's the reason for this season? Christ. Seek to worship him. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. If not, the other way, you will be discouraged. Second, where do you look? Where do you look? Your level of joy is directly related to where you look. We learn from the wise men that there are wrong and right places to look for Christmas. The wise men started by looking in the wrong place, if you remember the story. They look where their own human reasoning said they should look. Where? If you're a wise man and then you hear the news that there's a coming king to be born, where do you look? Are you going to the manger? The palace. It's based on their human reasoning. The star indicated that the birth of a new king in Israel. So the Magi went where kings should be born, to the palace of Herod the Great in the capital city of Jerusalem. Not in Bethlehem. But what happened? There was a mistake. When Herod heard of the birth of a new king, he was so jealous that he sought to kill the child. It triggers his what? Pride and fear. He wants to secure his throne. That's why he killed all the children 2 years under, 2 years old under, younger. You know, we also are tempted to look for joy at Christmas in the wrong places, right? We sometimes think that by getting or giving the right gift, we will be satisfied. All this can easily disappoint us. You may not be able to afford the right gift for a loved one. Family members may be missing from your holiday celebration. But if you are looking to these things for joy, you may be left with a feeling of disillusionment. The Magi, or the wise men, looked in the right place when they looked to God. While there, they discovered where they should look in the first place. Where? How they found the boy or the child. The star. By what? By the word of God. Right? Let's read Matthew chapter 2, 4 to 6. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Actually, this verse in verse 6 was quoted from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. From the word of God in the Old Testament, Matthew chapter 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is able to be ruler in Israel, who is coming forth, is from of old, from ancient days. So, where do you look? To the word of God. They looked again at the star and followed it to Bethlehem. And then they found the child in the house. It's very interesting here that the scribes, the religious leader, they mentioned, they quoted Micah chapter 5, verse 2, right? But I would say these people, they knew everything. But they didn't do anything, any action. They know where is the child was born. In Bethlehem. But what happened? It's like intellectual response. They knew. But have you heard any passage that they went there? Even Herod. And then Herod, not only he responded, but you see how hypocritical he was. Okay, go. And then if you found the child, come back here and tell me. And I will go and I will worship him. You see the responses there? Intellectual. They knew everything, and then Herod here, he said, I will worship, but it's not true. Hypocritical response, intellectual response. And it's so sad that some of us are acting like that at Christmas time. We knew everything. We knew about Christ, his birth, the Savior, believe him, and then worship him, but we know the scripture. We've been Christians for so long, but Baptist for 10 or 20 years, but every Christmas, the same thing. No action, intellectual response. And some, that's a sad thing, because some Christians are acting hypocritically. They're coming to church pretending that they worship like Herod, but at the back of their mind, there's something, it's like an interest, vested interest. They join this kind of things, participate, but at behind their, God forbid that we have that kind of response this season. What do you see? Where do you look? And the last but not the least, what do you give? What do you give this season? Your level of joy at Christmas is directly related to what you give. The Magi came to Jesus' house bearing gifts, Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. The gifts they gave were, I would say, appropriate gifts. Appropriate. They gave gold, a gift for a queen, right? By giving it, they acknowledged that Jesus was and is the king. They gave frankincense, a gift for a priest. This was an incense the priest used in the temple. So gold as a king, frankincense as a priest, and then the last one is myrrh, gift for the dead. This was a fragrant ointment used to anoint a body before burial. By giving it, they acknowledged that Jesus Christ had come to die for the sins of the world. I say, those are appropriate gifts. Gift for a king, gift for a priest, and gift for somebody who died for your sin, a savior. We ought to give appropriate gifts this Christmas as well. Now the question is, what is your appropriate gift for Jesus Christ this season? Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about material gifts. I'm talking about more important things. We ought to give the gift of our love and kindness to our friends and family, time to our loved ones or kids, care and love to our spouses. We ought to give the gift of our help to those who are in need, those who are hurting. We ought to give the gift of forgiveness to those who hurt us. Giving this kind of gifts will result in a real Merry Christmas, a joyous and meaningful Christmas, exceeding a mega, a joy to the highest degree. And not only that, give your, we call it treaties, your time, your talent, your treasure to the Lord. I hope this season will not be the same as previous years. Resolve to do something from now until the return of Christ, to do something for Him. Get involved in the ministry. Give and support to the missions or any ministry. What are you giving this Christmas? Consider to give yourself. Give your time again to your family. Give your compassion. And I guarantee you, when you look for the right thing, you look in the right places and give the right gift, you will have that kind of joy, the mega joy and the ultra joy, or joy to the highest degree. You don't need to spend a lot. You don't need to spend a lot of money to have that real Merry Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me close this with a story. A family during the Great Depression was unable to afford anything but the bare necessities of life, just for their food and clothing. That was Great Depression. One day, the news came that a circus was coming to town. Tickets cost $1. But that was too expensive for during the time. The little boy came running home, excited and eager to get the money from his dad. The father regretfully told his boy that he could not provide him with that much money, but promised his son that he will work hard so that he might make enough to purchase a ticket for him. A few days before the circus came to town, his dad gave him the money and ran off to town to buy his circus ticket. The day the circus came to town, he grabbed his ticket and rushed to the main street, and where he stood on the curb as the circus parade went by. So it's a parade. There's a parade. He was thrilled to watch the clowns, elephants, and all the circus performers. A clown came dancing over him, and the boy put his ticket in the clown's hand. It was just a parade, but the boy gave his ticket to the clown. He eagerly watched as the rest of the parade went by. After the parade, the boy rushed home and told his father that he had been to the circus and how much fun it was. The father, surprised that the boy was home already, asked him to describe the circus. The boy told of the parade that went down the main street and of giving his ticket to the clown. The father sadly took his son in his arms and said, "Son, you did not see the circus. All you saw was the parade. It was just a parade." But the boy was so glad that he gave the ticket. You know, the boy reminds me of many people at Christmas time. They get caught up with the carols, the trees, the lights, and gifts, and they think that they are experiencing what Christmas is all about. But the truth is, they're doing is seeing the parade and missing the main event, right? The true joy of Christmas. I pray that all of us will have that, what we call a real Merry Christmas result. And you have that result, that joy, and ultimately that joy will turn to real worship. to our Savior, Messiah, Jesus Christ. Let's pray.